This series by UBS is presented by Automated Voices and may include adaptive narration.
Hi, I'm Anna from the UBS Chief Investment Office. It's Monday, the 13th of July, and the time is 7 a.m. in New York. Equities were mixed after a firmer U.S. close. The S&P 500 rose 0.4%, and the Nasdaq added 0.3% in the U.S. session. In Europe, Stoxx Europe 600 slipped 0.3%, while Switzerland's SMI was up 10 basis points on the day. Nikkei 225 fell 1.9%, and the Shanghai Composite dropped 2.1% in Asia. In foreign exchange, 1 euro buys 1.141 US dollars, and 1 US dollar buys 0.81 Swiss francs this morning. The US 10-year Treasury yield is 4.57% after rising 1 basis point in trading. Brent crude is up 3.7% at $79 a barrel, while gold is down 1.3% at $4,061 an ounce today. And that's all for the market update. Now let's take a more detailed look at the latest developments.
Thanks, Anna. Staying with that backdrop, what changed over the weekend in the conflict between the US and Iran?
Well, tensions between the U.S. and Iran escalated further over the weekend, with the U.S. military launching more strikes on Iran after Iran's drone and missile attacks against U.S. allies, including Kuwait, Jordan, and Qatar. Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps also said it would not allow any vessels to pass through the Strait of Hormuz, although a maritime advisory group said a southern route through the waterway remains open to shipping.
And how did markets respond to that latest escalation?
Brent crude was trading 3.6% higher at around $78.8 a barrel at the time of writing. The 10-year Treasury yield was moving higher toward 4.6%. Gold was down 1.2% to around $4,070 an ounce, and S&P 500 futures were pointing 0.4% lower ahead of the U.S. market open.
Given that backdrop, what does this latest round of hostilities say about the prospects for a lasting agreement?
The continued hostilities over the past week underline how difficult it may be to secure a lasting agreement between Washington and Tehran, and they cast doubt on the future of the interim peace deal signed last month, which was meant to reopen the strait and end the war within 60 days. Still, we believe both sides remain incentivized to avoid a return to all-out war, and we expect robust earnings growth and a resilient economic backdrop to provide further support for markets.
So taking a step back, what does that mean for your broader investment view?
Our view remains that global equities have room to move higher, and we expect bond yields to fall when markets scale back expectations for central bank tightening. For investors, maintaining a diversified portfolio remains key, and we see additional ways to bolster portfolio resilience from here.
Let's start with commodities. Why do broad commodities make sense in this environment?
The key point is that commodities have historically shown low correlations with equities and bonds, while also offering effective long-term inflation protection. In the current environment, we believe energy exposure can help buffer against renewed supply disruptions, El Niño-related risks should support agricultural commodities, and the AI boom together with the electrification trend remains positive for industrial metals. Gold, meanwhile, should stay supported over the long term by central bank demand, continued diversification away from the US dollar, and global debt concerns.
And for investors who want to position more defensively, how do capital preservation strategies fit in?
Sure. Investors do not have to choose between pursuing upside and protecting against downside risk, because capital preservation strategies can help them remain invested while reducing the impact of drawdowns. Right now, we see value in locking in gains where appropriate, de-risking select exposures, and using structured investments to help manage downside risk. These strategies can also be customized for tenor, loss avoidance, and participation, so investors can tailor the degree of protection and upside participation to their own needs.
What about alternatives such as hedge funds?
Right, and more broadly, we think alternatives can also help strengthen resilience. Based on initial HFRI data as of the end of June, hedge funds delivered a solid 7.6% overall return in the first 6 months of this year, marking their best first-half performance since 2021. Given their broader and more flexible mandates, hedge funds can dynamically adjust positions, deploy leverage, and hedge key risks. We like global macro and relative value strategies, and think a modest allocation to select hedge funds can enhance portfolio resilience and smooth overall return outcomes. Investors should, however, stay selective and align allocations with their liquidity needs and risk objectives.
Right, and so what's the overall takeaway for portfolios from here?
So while geopolitical risks may continue to weigh on market sentiment, we think broad commodities, capital preservation strategies, and select hedge funds can help diversified portfolios better withstand near-term volatility.
Great, thanks, Anna. Now let's turn to what else caught our attention today. South Korea's volatility is back in focus. SK Hynix shares in Seoul fell more than 15% on Monday as investors booked profits following a 12.8% jump in the chipmaker's Nasdaq debut on Friday. A lower second quarter earnings forecast from local brokerage KIS also contributed to the decline. Although the firm said the revision reflected an adjustment in its long-term pricing assumptions for high bandwidth memory chips rather than concerns over fundamentals. The KOSPI ended Monday nearly 9% lower, taking its decline over the past 3 weeks to more than 25%. Even so, the benchmark's year-to-date gains remain above 60%, and the Korean won has held on to recent gains against the US dollar. Our view is that without commenting on single securities, we remain constructive on semiconductors overall, because they are still the key beneficiaries of big tech companies' growing AI investments. And we believe the medium-term AI demand story remains intact amid robust adoption trends and expanding agentic AI workloads. At the same time, selectivity within the industry remains important, and we see particular opportunities in semiconductor equipment stocks and foundries. Separately, we think the recent stability in the Korean won against the greenback should continue, as SK Hynix's $26.5 billion Nasdaq listing could provide supportive capital flows for the currency over the medium term. With markets moving past peak Fed tightening pricing, we see scope for dollar won to move lower over the next 6 to 12 months. India equities also stand out more positively now. Since peaking in September 2024, the Nifty 50 has underperformed MSCI EM Asia by around 60 percentage points, reflecting a relative loss of momentum as global investors rushed into AI and semiconductor-linked markets. India's market, by contrast, is more exposed to traditional growth drivers and industries such as financials, consumption, healthcare, industrials, and services. We have now upgraded India to attractive because that relative weakness has created a better entry point and because the cyclical backdrop has begun to inflect. While US-Iran tensions have escalated in the past few days, we expect both sides to de-escalate over the medium term, which should encourage lower oil prices and ease a key macroeconomic headwind for India. Our view is that India now appears to be moving past its macroeconomic, earnings, and market troughs. We expect economic growth to improve as energy-related pressure fades, capital spending firms up, and supportive fiscal settings begin to feed more clearly into domestic activity. Valuations and earnings also look more supportive, while profit growth looks set to return to a double-digit pace over the next 2 years. With foreign positioning still low, an anticipated revival in offshore inflows and stronger earnings could support a retest of the Nifty's previous highs over the next 12 months. Investors will still need to be mindful of risks, including the market's limited exposure to the AI capex cycle, rupee volatility, and geopolitics. Still, for global investors with little or no India exposure, we think a low single-digit allocation is worth considering. Looking ahead to the 14th of July, markets will also be watching Australia consumer confidence for July from Westpac, China's balance of trade for June, US CPI for June, and testimony from Fed Chair Warsh. And that's it for today, and we look forward to bringing you the latest House View update tomorrow.
This material has been prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS Switzerland AG, regulated by FINMA in Switzerland, its subsidiaries or affiliates, collectively referred to as UBS. The investment views have been prepared in accordance with legal requirements designed to promote the independence of investment research. This material is for your information only and is not intended as an offer or a solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any investment or other specific product. The analysis contained herein does not constitute a personal investment recommendation or take into account the particular investment objectives, investment strategies, financial situation, and needs of any specific recipient. This material may not be reproduced or copies circulated without prior authority of UBS. Please visit www.ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer to read the full legal disclaimer applicable to this material.